Welcome to the Everything Podcast, the place for everything education. Whether you're a first-year teacher or a seasoned educator, our mission is to help you employ smart strategies in and out of the classroom.
We firmly believe that teacher burnout isn't inevitable. Part inspiration and part implementation, we discuss the why and how to make your classroom effective and sustainable.
We're your hosts, Danielle
and Nicole. Welcome back to another episode of the Everything Podcast. Hey, Danielle, how's it going? How's your quarantine going?
It's going pretty well. We've had some pretty big milestones during quarantine.
Your little one took his first steps?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is amazing.
So as one of the, you know, perks of working from home, we were here. That was really exciting. So there are some upsides. So that's nice.
That really is beautiful. Oh my goodness. Well, congratulations to him, to your family. That's really, really big. Just celebrated his first birthday. That certainly is a milestone.
All the talk about home, because that's where we're spending all of our time.
It's so true. It's so true. And it can make the transition from your home space to your online classroom space to your social media space a little bit jumbled right now. I mean, I'm certainly feeling that. I know we've gotten a lot of feedback about that as well. People who are just feeling different levels of motivation and kind of conflicting levels of motivation, it seems.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I think of when I think of social media is so much of the time people are posting what they do when they're not at, that's the source of their inspiration, right? Or they got inspired to do a lesson because of, I don't know, something that happened to them when they were out running errands, or they got to physically go to a museum that they couldn't bring their students to, but they can do that virtually, which they still can do. But all of those opportunities to get inspired by the outside world kind of leave us and might leave us stuck for some post ideas too.
And I know that people are also trying to be very sensitive to the really different landscapes people are experiencing at mm-hmm. home when it comes to the different responsibilities that they have, changed responsibilities that they have. There's a lot of that going on as well, especially when it comes to social media. No one wants to feel like they're being insensitive by posting, you know, maybe what's their reality, and maybe that's not representative of other people's reality. And there's just a lot of that conversation going on as well. So I think people are definitely acknowledging that we're all in this together, but we're all experiencing different things. So it is sort of a conflicting conversation, but it's something that I think, you know, no matter what, we're all going through our school day, making the most of it, making the best of it. You know, we put out an episode a few weeks back about the importance of routines, the importance of teacher routines, and how we're trying to maintain those. And I think it kind of goes hand in hand that we're trying to make our routines, yes, definitely a way that we move about our day, but also the way that we set up this virtual space, our classroom, our social media. We're trying to make them all kind of agree with each other.
Yeah. And in the past, we've talked about how we could use what we're doing in our classroom inspiration for our side hustle. So that way it doesn't feel like you're starting from square one or starting fresh when you get home to work on it. And now more than ever, when we feel so pressed for time, I think that's especially true. I think that there are a lot of ways where you can utilize all of the fabulous work you're still doing for your class, and that you can still show it off and have ideas for what to post on social by kind of, I know I find myself probably spending even more time lesson planning, and I can't stop telling my husband about how excited I am about the lessons that we run in these virtual classrooms. And as a result, I have put together a little freebie for everyone, if I could just mention that.
Oh, definitely. First of all, I love the positivity. I'm right there with you. I agree that it's something that I'm totally embracing and I'm making the most of. I'm definitely spending more time just thinking through how to make the most of this. And I agree, it kind of, challenges your level of creativity, which I think we can all appreciate. But I'd love for you to share about your 1 week of what to post on social media during remote learning, because this is such a great outline. And I think for those that are feeling a little bit stuck, what a great thing Danielle has put together for us.
Yeah, so if you are that person who is feeling like you're just at a loss for what you could possibly be sharing at a time like this when nothing feels new, everything feels a little bit stale, the amazing things that you're doing in your classroom are a great place to start. But maybe you want a little bit more of a framework to go off of than that. I have a kind of like a themed question for each day of the week to help inspire you, so that way you're not sitting there thinking about what can I possibly post next.
Like you said at the start of the recording, people are so accustomed to using social media as an outlet to share about what they do outside of their homes, right? In every sense. And now that it kind of feels like every day is Groundhog's Day, it can feel a little stale after a while. So I think that in reframing the way that we see what we're doing in our classrooms, we're being as creative as we can. We're challenging ourselves, trying all this new technology, all of these new innovative ways of engaging our students. Why not share that in a way that also is represented on social media and kind of gives that refresh to what can really seem to feel like quite a repeated action day after day?
And if you need even more help than that, we sure hope you check out the now live. Nicole has a batch of images that are perfect for capturing what remote learning looks like, especially if you don't have the time to take all of those pictures for yourself.
We're really, really hoping to assist and support teachers through this time. And when it comes to that social media planning, we know that sometimes you're just kind of burnt out. We certainly want to be that support for you and offer what we can to make your social media continue to thrive during these challenging times.
Yeah, and speaking of how we can feel maybe a little bit stuck when it comes to being quarantined, working from home, and all of that, I think that I want to make sure that when it comes to how we've designed our virtual space, we're making really conscientious choices so that way our students still feel like they are inspired to do work and they still feel like your classroom feels like. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yes, I love this. I think, there's a lot of, like, I keep using this word creativity all around. And I think it's so great to see how teachers are really taking advantage of the chance to use technology to show off their personalities in their, online classrooms. I'm a huge fan of that as well. And just kind of giving people those pointers as to how to make this feel like home, because it seems like we're moving in that direction for a little while longer now. So let's take advantage of it and embrace this change.
Yeah, so before we talk about some of the strategies that we have in mind for making your virtual classroom feel a little bit more like home for both you and your students, we want to dig into why this is actually a good use of time. And you mentioned it, Nicole. This no longer seems like a little hiatus from real life. This very much feels like how many places are going to be ending their school year.
Yes. And I think that, in the way that I'm planning out my curriculum for the rest of the quarter, I've made efforts to adapt what I had planned for this virtual space. And I think that a lot goes down to the language. I can think of like a marking period long project that I have for my students. And although we're all optimistic, hoping that, we'll be back in school soon, I think it's kind of on the teacher to take that responsibility and own the fact that you're going to have to make some changes when it comes to the language around maybe projects or assessments that you had planned and really, embrace it. We're going to use that again. I think that, I've heard from some of my students, it would be so much more fun if we could be in person doing this project or sharing in this together. And yes, totally agree. But I'm trying to even make it more enjoyable on Zoom, on our online video chat, and all of that. So, yes, it definitely seems like this is going to be more of a long-term experience for all. And I think embracing that and speaking to your students honestly about that, updating the language that you have on the projects that you've already planned. I think just being proactive in that way is the best way to take ownership over it.
Yeah, because in a time of so much uncertainty, you are providing a little bit of a sense of normalcy for your students. And being as honest with them about how you've changed things in order to make it work for this only reiterates and reinforces that type of trust.
Agreed. I think it definitely comes down to that level of confidence too. And, you know, having students knowing who they can come to for that level of reassurance is really important. And a lot of them are leaning on their teachers, educators to give them that sense of support right now. And I think that, you know, we've got to be strong for them, and we've got to continue to make sure that we're all very much on the same page.
And while it might seem a little bit like vain or superficial to spend some time customizing some of the things that we're going to suggest here, it sets a tone, right? I know that if I have a bulletin board in like my physical classroom that is either not completely done or it really needs to be updated because based on where students sit or how often they pass it, it's looking a little worse for wear. It really kind of like bothers me until it gets done because it's not sending the message that I want it to. And I feel like putting in these small ways to customize your virtual space is setting that tone. It's signaling that you care, and it's signaling that you are still the person on the other side of the computer putting that effort in, even if they may or may not be seeing you show up in the way they're used to.
Danielle, this reminds me so much of one of my favorite quotes from one of my favorite professors in grad school: structure influences behavior. And I think that speaks to the way that we run our classrooms, the physical space, the online space. Like you said, having an unfinished bulletin board, right? What does that say about how students perceive you and your level of effort or care for the classroom or their experience? I think it all goes back to that. And I agree. Having that great level of structure does truly influence how kids will perform and participate in your online space. So it leaves us questioning how we can actually make this happen. I think we're all in agreement that we know that this is important. It's definitely not that short-term kind of, you know, get by until we can be back together. It's certainly owning it and making sure that our students recognize that we are that sense of support, that reassurance for them. So one of the ways that I've seen teachers do this online, and I've personally made the step to do this in my classroom, is customization. And I think that, you know, in having so much technology all around us, you can get very creative. I've mentioned before that I've made use of Bitmojis. Nothing new, right? Those have been around for a while, but that's a really fun one. And I actually like to update my Bitmojis on a weekly basis. And there are some pretty funny ones about quarantine and just different, you know, little actions you can make them do. That's kind of a silly example, but customizing your banner to make students feel like they really are experiencing this kind of classroom experience that they may be accustomed to. So whether it's a color scheme, it's, you know, a funny image. I like to post memes in my classroom as well. You know, I have a lot of fun with my high school Spanish students in participating in different like language jokes and different videos, things like that. Just making sure that you're infusing what you would normally do in your classroom into something that you would do in your virtual classroom. And I think that customization goes a really, really long way.
Yeah, a number of the things that we're going to talk about are about customizing it. And I think that starting with your banner or header image, whatever it is that is the first thing that students see, is a really great opportunity. I think that many schools probably put Google Classroom or whatever they selected as their remote learning quickly and all of the defaults.
Yep.
So students logged in to all matching classes. And I feel like if we're thinking about that as kind of our virtual bulletin board, again, how would you as a student feel seeing that? And while it wasn't the first thing that you wanted to be spending your time on, now that we're in this for the long haul, maybe it is something that you can either switch out once or, like Nicole's doing, make it something that you're doing more regularly. on how to use your Bitmoji in order to create a custom banner for your Google Classroom, I think you should definitely check out the one from Hello Teacher Lady. She does a great job of explaining how to make that work in a really easy to follow way. Also, her website is beautiful.
That's awesome. So definitely step number one, customize your banner. I totally agree. I can think of so many teachers who are like, wait, Google Classroom? Question mark, question mark. People are so new to some of this technology and having those defaults as being the very first step and possibly the last step that you may have taken. It's about making sure that students recognize like, hey, I'm in blank class right now, or just having that little special feeling that they've entered your room. I think that it does go a long way. And like you perfectly said, Danielle, it may have been something that wasn't important at the time, but recognizing that now we may be here for a little bit, it's important to kind of just put in those extra few steps. They do go a really long way.
Truly, if you walk into your physical classroom and you have shiplap covering every single bulletin board, don't you think that if you change out your banner and it has something that has shiplap on the back and or a Bitmoji of you or something like that, students are going to notice? They are, and they're probably going to comment on it, and they feel like they belong there.
Which brings us to our next step, is to send a message with your profile image. And I totally agree with this one. I also made use of this and used my Bitmoji as a way to give students another way to recognize me, especially when sending emails, all of the notification that they're probably getting hundreds and hundreds a day, sent right to their email, featuring different posts and questions and assignments from their teachers. I think that it makes it just a little bit more special and personalized when you can see someone's face or maybe their visual representation of themselves rather than just having, their initials or a color. It's just a cute way just to remind students of who it is that's reaching out to you and helps you to differentiate.
I actually did this myself because I went through and I gave in. I made a Bitmoji, so you got me in a stack of books, and I felt so much better about it once I had done it. Like it was one of those things that I had wanted to change for a while, just because it was annoying to me, and. I and a lot of my students know that I have a cat at home, so I'm certainly going to be working that in, things like that.
I love it. Which leads us to our next one. Keep the routines you can. Danielle, I was thinking about what we mentioned a few weeks back when you talked about your Socrative exit ticket that you like to do with your students, or maybe your Kahoot review game before tests. I'm a huge fan of routines as well, of course, and having all of those kind of infused into my virtual classroom has been a huge help. I think it's also made the transition a bit more seamless just because so much of what I was doing in my traditional classroom is also what I'm doing in my virtual classroom. I use technology a lot as it is. So it's helped to kind of keep those routines pretty consistent. And I like that students are already very familiar with what I'm asking of them. And if they're not familiar with some of the new technology that you may be required to use or having to use on your own, I think that, trying to remind students that, hey, we're still doing a do now activity. It just looks a little bit different, and here's how, and here's why. I think that kind of giving students just a little bit of that why can go a long way as well. I know that people tend to, get a little thrown off with all of the technology that's required of us. And certainly there's a lot of change, a lot of updates to be made. But I think that giving, kind of that understanding as to, we're still moving about our class in the same way. We're still looking to hit those same targets. Maybe we'll give students that sense of relief knowing that, you know what, I do know how to do all of these things. I'm just using a new platform. I'm using a new skill and this new technology.
Yeah, I have used Edpuzzle in the past, but I'm certainly making more use of it nowadays than I had. And because my students know that we start with a do now and we leave with an exit ticket, I actually embedded all of that directly into Edpuzzle. There is nowhere else you need to look. And I labeled it in that way so that way. Even though I know that that's the do now question and that's the exit ticket, if the students are used to you using that kind of language, making sure that you continue to do that really kind of reinforces, like, yep, this is the same space, just moved it over a little bit. We are having a quiz on a grammar topic for my freshman class really soon, and they are really very used to the day before a quiz or test, if we're having some type of review, we play a review game for extra credit points. So you know that, in fact, today we used quizzes and I had them all log in at the same time and created that like live quizzes. That does work with remote learning because all the stuff comes up right on their personal device. And I posted the leaderboard at the end and gave the extra credit points, just like as if we were in class. And speaking of things that you're normally doing in your classroom that we want to make sure we're just bringing to this remote classroom, this virtual classroom, we want to make sure that your personality is coming along for the ride as well, right?
Definitely.
We've dedicated an entire episode to this in the past.
We know how important and how far it goes to share a little bit more self with your students, and especially at a time where they may be feeling a lot of feelings and looking for that sense of support or maybe even like that one teacher that means something to them. I think that being a little bit more open and willing to share about your life and maybe even what you're experiencing day to day can go a long way. I know that, you know, we both have little jokes and things that we like to share with our students that makes it feel a bit more personal. And we've mentioned a couple today using things like Bitmoji, memes, videos, different color schemes, things that hopefully will remind our students of how much that little extra effort, you know, it is for them. It is intended for them to make them feel at home.
And like, it doesn't have to be big. Is there a line that whether you realize it or not, you kind of start class with every day or end class with every day?
Oh, yeah. And I'm commenting on Google Classroom, quoting me.
But like, even that is an opportunity. It doesn't always have to be visual, right?
Which leads us, and so appropriately, to the very final way of how to make our virtual classroom feel like home with a little visualization. Our Zoom backgrounds, personalizing our Zoom backgrounds. If you are in a classroom setting that, or I should say, if you are in a school setting that encourages you to use Zoom during your class periods, making a personalized background is a really fun way to make things a bit more personal. And of course, we have to reference the origin of this little tip is from our dear friend, Kara Piper from Virtual Elementary Teachers is the originator of this idea from our episode that we did together, and it was actually very well received amongst the elementary teacher. Definitely worth sharing, an easy and simple way to personalize a virtual experience with your students.
I'm going to go ahead and extend this and give us a bonus one, because again, it doesn't always have to be something that is visual. I'm thinking back to our episode with Ashley Bible of Building Book Love and how she uses that background ambient noise in her classroom to set a mood. You could absolutely do the same thing if your students are doing some sort of writing task and it's about a particular book and you want them to have that as kind of like the backdrop and the inspiration as they're doing their work, just send them the link.
That is such a great reference. Shout out to Ashley Bible. I love that. It sounds like we have identified the five ways to make our virtual classrooms feel like home for ourselves and for our students. And it goes without saying that in putting in this extra effort to make our online space feel so much more personal, it hopefully will lead to a lot more dialogue and maybe even some instruction on how to help other teachers do the same thing. And what we're referring to is the way that we show up on social media. So definitely thank you for sharing your freebie download that is available on TPT, and get on there and download it, people.
Yeah, I think that it is obviously a task that will help you feel more at home. It'll help your students feel more at home. And bonus, you now won't be stuck about what the heck to post on Instagram.
I guess you could say it's probably playing a little triple duty for you there.
It really is. A win-win-win. Gotta like that.
As always, thanks, Danielle.
Thank you. If you'd like to learn more about us and the services that we offer, head to
everything.com.